When it comes to commercial banking, relationships matter. At Associated Bank, we've got you. With a dedicated team of relationship managers helping you secure financing to best serve you today and tomorrow. Visit associatedbank.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
John, good morning. Welcome to the opening bell. Happy New Year, too.
Hey, good morning, my friend. Good to be back. Happy New Year.
Did you make any New Year's resolutions?
I did, and I'm probably about to break them in the next 15 minutes. Uh-oh.
What, I'm guessing one of them is to be more positive.
Positive. I was hoping that would be yours, actually.
It is one of mine, as a matter of fact.
Let's see how long that lasts, Mr. Grzanich.
Since it was brought to my attention that I have a contrarian point of view.
They're squashing shoes.
2019, the predictions are for a really good year in your field, which is real estate and mortgages.
You know, they are, and kind of overlooking, and it's one of those things, if we all had a crystal ball, we wouldn't be sitting here, we'd be doing this from a beach somewhere. But you look back at rates, everyone was talking about last year and rates rising. If you look historically, 1970s, the average rate was 8.8. 1980s, it was 12.7. 1990s, it was 8.1. Even as recently as 2000, it was 6.29. You're looking at a 30-year conventional, again, given appraisal, credit, title, not committing to anything. In October, it was 5.125. Yesterday, it was 4.5. So in the last 6 to 8 weeks, rates have actually dropped by 5/8 of a point. And you don't see it a lot. Kind of that's where we go back to having a conversation, picking up the phone. We have borrowers that were pre-approved and looking at a home at 5.125 that are closing next week. And because of the rate drop and they hadn't locked, they're getting 4.5.
Nice.
So it's quite a saving. So it's one of those things that history-wise, rates are historically low. If you're living back in 2006, 2007, when the 30-year was at 3.5, it's not. Mm-hmm. But nothing is consistent.
We reported on some data points on that, and the Mortgage Bankers Association said that week between Christmas and New Year's, and maybe even the week before that, the number of mortgage applications was through the roof.
It was. They actually went through the roof. They stayed steady and declined for a while. And it's interesting when you correlate the week between Christmas and New Year's, where you assume no one's doing anything. Mm-hmm. I look at it different. People are home to get things done. If you're not working, you're not in school, you can take the time and go see your banker over at Associated Bank. They're talking about housing prices rising 4.8% this year. There's going to be a lot of inventory. It's going to be a seller's market. There's going to be more competition. But, you know, it's almost like mortgages are the grim reaper. Any bad news in the market is good news for the rates.
Yeah.
You know, the stock market going down, the thing with the government on shutdown, horrible, good for mortgage rates.
You know, you call me the contrarian and the negative person on this, but I think I've told you this before. I grew up during the 60s, I remember my parents, their mortgage was double digits.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, single digits, even 6% would be better.
Six is great.
Right.
Six is great. And again, what they're looking for next year is not a lot of impulse buying. Hey, honey, wouldn't it be great to have a big house? Mm-hmm. Well, hey, honey, we don't need one. You know, so there was a lot of impulse buying with the market the way it was last year. There was a lot of bonuses paid. People made a lot of money. They took that money and said, hey, we only need a 3-bedroom house. Let's get a 5-bedroom house with a pool. I don't think you're going to see that because people are a little bit more conservative. There's going to be more to choose from on the market, and they just have the opportunity to look.
Well, and one of the other positive things here, see more positive, right? at least a pause in interest rates going up. It seems that we're going to see a pause in no more interest rate hikes, perhaps, for at least the first part of this year. That's good news as well.
You know, it's really good news. And again, it's one of those things, as you know better than I do, it can change overnight. You know, the people with their paper that go to the Fed meetings and they say we're not changing them, but we might next week. That but we might puts the market into a frenzy. So again, we go back to having that conversation with your banker at Associated Bank. Get pre-approved. You don't buy a house, you shred the letter. Keeping an eye on rates, getting that relationship going. So again, I think it's going to be a good year. Refis, I think we're down to 22% refi, which is average for the market. Refis are still a great opportunity. College costs, consolidating debt. So there's still opportunity out there. Construction loans are absolutely going through the roof. Either major remodel or build ground up. Absolutely unbelievable. People, if they're going to buy a house, they don't want a used one. I want to buy my dream house, and I want to design it.
I want to go into a couple of things that you brought up in a little bit more detail. One of them is this, we don't need that big of a house. The idea that there are more practical purchases. Tell us again, what's driving that, and why is that a growing trend already in this new year?
The practical purpose?
Yeah. You know,
I just think people are done with their pipe dream. You know, you're looking at taxes. Who knows what's going on? This is the first year when people are filing their taxes that has the president's new tax law. You're not going to really know until you see that bottom line from your accountant to find out what you're getting back or what you're not. Taxes going up in pretty much every town. New referendums, fire departments, schools. Again, they all deserve it, but you're finding a lot less people that are going to buy a $1 million house and realizes their taxes may double in 3 years. Let's find a town, good school district, average price house, and kind of look at the tax history instead of jumping into something and get a big surprise when you get your tax bill every month.
Yeah, and there's been this rattling around that perhaps we're on the cusp of a recession or maybe things are going to go south later in this year. People may be looking ahead to that as well, thinking, okay, well, it's coming.
You know, it is coming, and like anything else, nothing is consistent. No matter what job you have, nobody is secure. You wake up every day like that, you never get out of bed. You got to get up and say, here's what I want to do. Here's what we have to do. We have to move. We're a millennial. Now we're three millennials. We need a bigger millennial house. So there's certain things you can't avoid. Home buying is still one of the best investments you'll ever make. It's not going to be perfect. You may hit a down year. You may hit an up year. But you also want to look at the long run. You want to make sure you make an investment instead of renting, paying X amount of dollars. Your mortgage could be cheaper than rent, and you may get that tax break.
I'm going to make sure I heard you correctly earlier. You said this is going to be a seller's market.
Seller's market.
So that means people coming to buy your house are going to take it, no questions asked?
There might be questions. Again, you know, we were talking earlier about your house being Instagram ready,
right,
which just kills me to say. But, you know, people want to look at houses that are perfect. There's a few ways to look at that. You know, do you want to fix your house up and put $50,000 into it, maybe only to get $35,000 back on a sales price? Or do you want to have an opportunity to speak with some buyers, talk about a construction loan? Instead of me fixing it up for the way you like it, you might walk in and want to do it completely different. They're talking, you know, this year being small percentage, but at least it's positive, 0.4% more home sales in millions in 2019 compared to 2018. So, again, a lot's on paper and a lot can happen with what's on paper, but there's not a lot of negativity out there about the seller's market.
So does the Instagram-worthy house, can you accomplish that by having, you know, just buying new appliances and maybe putting on some paint and maybe perhaps getting some furniture, or do you have to go full in and maybe hire one of those stagers, or what does that mean?
You know, it's a tough one to target. Stagers are phenomenal, and I got to tell you, I really years ago did not believe in someone putting furniture in my house, because if you own your house, you know Johnny had his first communion party in this room, so this is the best room ever. Well, people buying your house don't care about Johnny. You know, the stagers come in, and when you spend an hour with them and you see what they can do, a couple things about stagers, though, is you may have to be at a point where you have already moved out, because they will redesign certain rooms. Mm-hmm. I've walked into houses that it's unbelievable what they can do. On the flip side, you may need some paint. You may need to put up some cabinets. You may need to get that little rust stain out of the bathtub. People want a move-in-ready house. You know, it's one of those things that you're really going to talk to your realtor. That's what they're experts in. Those realtors, the stagers, they're best buddies. Find that realtor that you get along with that will give you honest advice. And pricing your house right is absolutely key. Again, you may think it's worth $1 million. It might be worth $650,000. So you're going to have to take it in the gut, realize you're not going to make $1 million, and adjust yourself to sell it. So selling a house is not really as easy as, hey, let's throw up a sign in the yard. You mentally have to be prepared for what you're going to hear. Okay. Because they review your house, and they review it pretty in-depth. So you're going to have to be prepared.
You said something about a construction loan. I want to hear more about that. Is that something, again, that the buyer would do when they get their mortgage? It would be an extra loan for construction, or is that something a seller would get?
Well, it's a one-time loan. If you buy the house, you could buy it to purchase the home. Say you're buying a house for $300,000, and you want to put $200,000 in for construction. Your loan would be $500,000. So your first loan would be $300,000, because that's what you purchased the house for. You'd have $200,000, say, sitting in reserve. So when the builder needed funds, he'd send in a sheet showing what he's done. The funds would be released to the builder. That would add on to your first loan. Mm-hmm. When you're done, it's a one-time close. It rolls over into an end loan at the same rate you picked when you closed. So it's got a little hair on it. It's not as difficult as people think, but you're number one, you're paying interest only on that loan. So interest only during construction.
What are the tax complications of that, too? Is it deductible like a home equity loan?
Oh, that's CPA land, my friend, okay. Especially coming up this year. I would assume, because it is interest on your mortgage, I would assume you do get a tax break, but I would also suggest that you talk to your CPA.
We'll have to hold that over to maybe your colleague Wayne Janis when he's in up.
Wayne would be the man that would keep you on the air for an hour and a half with that question.
Yeah, John, I want to talk to you about some of these cool developments that are going on around the city. I know your expertise is not necessarily in commercial real estate, but some of these commercial plans, Lincoln Yards, the 78. Talk to us about their impact on residential real estate, and are you excited about some of these?
You know, it's exciting to see, and even when you look out of the window here, you're seeing the cranes. We were talking to someone earlier today, and they were saying the crane business is absolutely booming. I mean, it's crazy. You're looking at some of these developments, and I know the one, 12 million square foot of office and residential high-rise retail and a 20,000-seat soccer stadium and other entertainment values. Mm-hmm. Obviously, or not obviously, but the alderman kind of nixed that because they said that 20,000-seat soccer stadium is going to play havoc on schools, on traffic, mm-hmm. on the infrastructure. So what they decided to do is make that a park. I think what you're going to see, I'm excited about it because every time you see residential real estate or homes, you get a little excited because that's what I do for a living.
Right.
So, I was trying to add up the numbers, and it was mind-boggling. On the six high-rises that are coming in, you're talking millions and millions of square feet. Some of them were hotels mixed with mixed-use, businesses, residential. It's absolutely crazy. And they're not just in one area. You know, it's south. It's at Chinatown. It's in the West Loop. The one of them was so big, the 78, it's so big, it's going to become the Chicago 78th community area. So you're talking about a development that's going to be so big, it has its own neighborhood. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, that would connect the South Loop with Chinatown along the river there. It brings up a good question. If you're planning to buy something this year, if you're out there listening, let's talk about a potential buyer. I'm excited about some of that. Do I wait for those to be built, or when can I start looking at perhaps making a purchase on one of those plans, or even at that stage yet?
Well, you might not be at that stage, but similar to a lot of subdivisions that are building, these developers will have a home or they'll have an office. And I've seen some where you literally go in and you put on a pair of those goggles like the kids have with their games, those millennials, and you turn around and you're actually in the unit. You are in the unit, you visualize the unit, there's nothing around you. And you look pretty funny while mm-hmm. you're doing it, by the way, but you can walk through the unit with the goggles on. At that time, you can make a pre-purchase. You'll see a lot of these guys doing pre-purchase deals. If you put X amount down, you're going to get a better deal than someone else. Mortgage-wise, these buildings are going to take years and years to build. But mortgage-wise, you want to start before you put those goggles on. Can you afford what you're about to see? If you can, you start the process, you get pre-approved, you go meet them. So it's never too early. Their sites, I'm sure, will be going up soon once everything gets ready to go. And the models they have, it's mind-blowing what the models are incredible.
Very exciting. Well, so what if somebody's New Year's resolution this year is to become a homeowner and they're just kind of hitting the ground on this? Give us a sense of how you can get involved with them, what the planning would be like, what their first step should be, and when they should call you.
First step really would be to call me, really, because what you want to find out, as we've talked about before, you may have credit issues that you don't know about. You're thinking you want to buy in November. You might have a credit issue we could fix in 60 days with your help. Mm-hmm. Coming in, sitting down, or picking up the phone, or applying online, you know what you can afford. You know what your payments are going to be. We'll work on your taxes for you. We'll know what your homeowners association dues will be. So really what we like to see when they get that piece of paper in the mail is that there's no surprises. You did your homework. Don't come in and want to buy a $500,000 house, get yourself all excited, find out you can afford $350,000, because it's not going to happen. Number one, your realtor wants you to make sure that you're prepared. You want to make sure you're prepared. And when you're ready to roll, you have that piece of paper that's going to expedite everything.
How often do you tell somebody who comes in and they think, oh, I can't do this? Yeah, you can.
It's surprising. It is surprising. The first question is, are they renting? And mm-hmm. then they tell us their rent. And then it's like, do you know what you can save and possibly get a tax deduction if you get a mortgage? Yeah. People are just, because again, you hear so much negativity. I'm going to stay in, not from you. I'm going to stay in. I'm not going to do anything. It doesn't cost you a nickel. You pick up the phone, you have a conversation. Here's what you can afford. And some people are very surprised, very surprised.
Well, how can those people get a hold of you and have this conversation one-on-one?
They can get a hold of me. My office number is 312-544-4616. And my email is john@associatedbank.com.
John, I think it's going to be a positive year. I really do.
It's going to be great. And I got to wish my wife a happy birthday because I'm sure she's up right now listening.
Happy birthday to wifey.
Susan.
Susan, happy birthday.
I got it right as long as you did.
All right. We'll see you next time, John.
All right, brother. Thanks, man.